Happy New Year to you. Hallelujah. How many are excited for what God is going to do in us and through us in 2026? Hallelujah. I hope and pray that you are entering into this year with faith, with hope, with great expectation of the blessing and favor and protection of God on your life. Come on, we have to have the mindset of a conqueror. Do you have the mindset of a conqueror for 2026? Hallelujah. If you don't, starting today, God wants to shift that. He wants to kind of make a change, and this is why I'm so excited about this series that we're doing. It's a series on fasting, titled Fasting for Breakthrough. You know why I chose to title it Fasting for Breakthrough is because when you look all throughout the Bible, one of the things that you'll notice is that if we were going to say in general terms, what happens when God's people really fast? Guess what? One way, another way, they experience great breakthrough. And I'm ready for a whole new measure of breakthrough in my life. And I'm believing he's going to do that in your life and in our church. And so this is a very special thing. And what I want to do before I kind of unpack today's message is give you a couple of introductory truths that are very, very important for our understanding of this. So what is fasting in a nutshell? Fasting is a form of consecration. Everybody say consecration. Now, consecration is kind of like a biblical, quote, theological word, okay, that you don't hear often. But as a child of God, it's important for you to know at least the meaning of the word. And here's the essence of it. So fasting is one form, it's one facet of consecrating yourself. So it's a form of consecration where we separate ourselves, that's what consecration is, we separate ourselves to God in order to know, hear, and serve him better. Come on, let's say that together. Ready? In order to know, hear, and serve him better. How many want to know, hear, and serve God better in 2026? Hallelujah. I've got news for you. If you know, hear, and serve God better, you're going to experience great victory, new measures of victory, new measures of freedom and breakthrough in your life. That is guaranteed. It is unstoppable because when God is for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? Amen? And so fasting is one of the things that we do to sort of separate ourselves to God. And I want you to think about it this way. Think of fasting sort of as a great runway for your 2026, right? We want to start the year with this intentional focus on Christ himself. And this is personal, but it's also collective. And before I get into this, I want to really issue a challenge to all of you. We are the body of Christ. And so all throughout history, what we see is that the people of God would do certain things collectively. And when God's people kind of unite around a kingdom idea, there's a blessing that he pours out. There's an anointing that he pours out. And so I want to encourage you to participate however the Lord leads you, and we're going to break this down in a moment about how God might be leading you to fast, but however it is, listen, let's do this together. This is not just for you, this is for all of us, and this is not just for all of us, this is for each one of us. We are kind of engaging ourselves in kingdom activity. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many believe the will of God can be done on earth? The kingdom of God can visit earth. That's what we're praying about. That's what we are believing God for. So however it is, and I'll get into that in a moment, I really want to encourage you to participate in this fast. It will be a great blessing to your life. Now, as we go into actually today's message, we're starting in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 is the passage of scripture that highlights arguably the most famous fast, or one of the most famous fasts, the Daniel fast. This is where we get 21-day fast from. This is where we extract the principles of fasting in this way. This is this chapter, and then there are certain specific outcomes that go with it. And so this is a very clear picture. Now, I want to tell you that in addition to your consecration devo, which I really, really want to encourage you, the questions in this devo are fantastic. Okay, they are there to really help you explore what God is saying to you and pray and trigger special times between you and the Lord in these 3 weeks. But if you want, read also Daniel chapter 1, because Daniel was a guy who had a lifestyle of fasting. This is not just the first time. The whole book opens with Daniel fasting. And he fasted for a specific need. And then you're going to see the same thing is repeated now in Daniel chapter 10. Okay, so let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 10. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read verse 1 through 3 and then 10 through 14 because of time. And this is going to be a part one. On Tuesday, it's also going to be a part two. So I want to encourage you to come out this Tuesday. That was not enough amens there, but I just know that you're so focused, you forgot to say amen to that. But and I rarely say this, but look, if you want different outcomes, you need different practices. So why don't you cancel something this Tuesday and come out and pray with the family of God? Amen. And that's going to be part two of us exploring this particular passage and the Daniel fast itself. So Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So look up here for a moment, because this is where we get the 21-day fast from. And here's what's unique about this particular story. This particular story is sort of like once in a blue moon, you might see a movie where you see it. The movie starts with some kind of high point, some kind of like big issue moment, and then it goes dark, and then it says 3 weeks before. Okay? That's what this is. This is the same exact thing. So in this passage of scripture, it starts with the outcome, and then it shows you the process to the outcome. All right? So the outcome is that Daniel gets a great revelation. Okay? Daniel gets this great revelation. And here's what's powerful about it. These are things that you and I can expect from God as we start this year and as we commit ourselves to really separate ourselves to Him. So first of all, he gets this great revelation, and notice that it says its message was true. Its message was true. How many are grateful, thankful that when God speaks, you know that what God says is true? You know, I'm like collecting all of these little things that as you start to get older, you just start to do things. So as you start to get older, you know the things you start doing? Is you start to research all the time. You know, you just research and research and find out that garlic does this and juniper berries do that. Oh, this happened. You should take some juniper berries. But you know, one of the things I've discovered, because I'm one of those people that just because you tell me something doesn't mean I accept it. I'm not exactly like that. So I've noticed that sometimes you could be researching a particular issue and everybody who's on, let's say, YouTube or whatever, they're all experts. So one expert says this and this other expert says the very opposite to what he said. Right? So these all of the experts and nobody agrees. Aren't you thankful that when God says something, you know that you know that you know that you know that it's true? What do you need in 2026? You need the truth. Revelation brings the truth, brothers and sisters. When God speaks, his message is true. His message is what you need. His message is what you want. His message is what will really guide. His message is what will prepare you, because notice, its message was true and it concerned a great war. Okay? God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. God knows what's coming. And he can speak to us. Amen? That's what this revelation was. And God gave him understanding. Now it says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. What does he mean by mourning? He means that he humbled himself. It means that he said, you know what, Lord? It's like, I want more of you, and I want to make a difference. And I look at this world, and this world is crazy. You know, I don't want to live by the dictates of this world. I want to see you step into this world. I want to see you move on the city of Chicago. I want to see you do something in my family. And it has to start in my mind and in my heart. I want to see you break through, Lord, near and far. And because of that, I'm going to humble myself. You see, we humble ourselves. We come under the mighty, powerful hand of God. That's what we need. That's what Chicago needs. And how did he do it? It says, I ate no choice foods, no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. What is he basically saying is, he said, I basically gave up creature comforts. I gave up things that are pleasurable to me, not to punish myself. This is not legalism. But because I'm saying I'm giving up all of the pleasures, all of the comforts of this world, because I don't want to be nourished at the earthly level. I want to be nourished at the heavenly level. And so what if, you know, when you think about your fast, in the Bible, fasting is primarily food-based, but I believe that we can fast other things. You know, things that are like creature comforts. To some people, social media is a creature comfort. I watch how people scroll, scroll, scroll. You know, you're at the restaurant or you're on a bus or it, wherever you are, it's just crazy how much this, people are like, you know. I believe that social media has become an addiction. You want to break yourself free of something? Just notice. Go home and take a 2-hour slot and notice how many times there's something, there's like a twitch in you. Right? How many know that instead of being getting messages from here, we can get messages from on high? God can speak to us. So just turn it off for a while. Some people, it's the news. Whatever it is, this is between you and God. Okay, this is between you and God. But the point is Daniel set aside earthly things for 3 weeks. Everybody say 3 weeks. To concentrate on making space and focusing on really connecting with God so that we could see him, hear him, know him, and serve him better. That's what we're doing. And I'm telling you right now, as we do this collectively, we are going to collectively reap from the kingdom of heaven. Because he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Anybody who seeks the Lord will find the Lord. How many would say amen? Amen. So this is so exciting, so attainable. Before we pray, I want you to know that revelation is attainable. The other world is attainable. The kingdom of God is at hand. We just got to take the time to look for it and to find it. Amen? Okay, a little bit more. Then the Bible says here, a hand touched me, which has now becomes more the focus of the message today. It says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. The minute we start to seek God, how many know God hears our cry? God hears our seeking. Somebody say amen. But watch this. This is really powerful. This is one of the few passages of Scripture that actually opens up the spiritual realm. There's only a couple of them. And this is a very significant one that was essentially the fruit of fasting. So notice, an angel comes to Daniel and is bringing the message, but then he's unpacking. It's been 21 days, and now I'm here. And look at what he says. So since the moment you started praying, your prayer was heard. But your prayer actually activated spiritual warfare. Okay, it says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, which is another angel, another great archangel, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So one of the things that I also want to kind of highlight before we break this down is the fact that when you start to seek God and when you start to pray, what happens is now you cross over from the realm of the earth and you start to activate things in the kingdoms of heaven. You see? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You might think it's that person. You might think it's that problem. You might think it's that issue. But the things that are really against us are they come from the spirit realm. You see, and when you win in the spirit, then you win in the flesh. But we have to win. How many want to win in the spirit first? How many understand that God wants us to live with understanding? And one of the things that fasting does is it opens up the spiritual realm, and now you're no longer just walking around. You are aware the kingdom of God is upon us. So the title of today's message is Fasting for Revelation. Fasting for Revelation. It's part one because on Tuesday, we're going to be covering part two of this passage. And I want to encourage everyone to make the time to come out. And we're fasting for revelation. One of the primary fruits of consecrating yourself, of drawing close to God, is that God starts to provide revelation. You see, revelation is a very, very important thing. Before we pray, what is revelation? Revelation is an uncovering, a bringing to light what had been previously unknown or hidden regarding ourselves or our future. In other words, I mentioned this a few moments ago, God knows his plan for your life. God knows the future. How many know God can speak to you about your future? We don't have to wander around through 2026 like we're blind. No, we can walk and in the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. There can be a voice that says, turn left instead of right. You know, there's a voice that says, no, don't speak or don't go or go. Step out. That's what is provided by the kingdom of God. When we fast, God gives us great revelation. And listen, here's the first thing that happens as we go to pray. When we fast for revelation, right, we know him more. You see, the key to a blessed 2026, I'm telling you right now, it's not the promotion that you're dreaming about, and I pray you get it. It's not the relationship that you're dreaming about, and I pray you get that, if that's God's will. You see, that's not what we're talking about. In order to be really blessed, to be really good inside your skin, right? In order to just be right, you need to know him more. Do you want to know him more? Let's pray for revelation. I want to encourage you. God loves you. Right? And the most wonderful thing that could happen to you in this year is that you start to hear and know God more than you ever have in your life. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that this year is so filled with hope and purpose and power and protection. But Lord, we need revelation. Yes. And God, as we draw near to you, we're drawing near to you because we want to know you more. The greatest revelation is the revelation of Christ. And so, Lord, may we know you. God, our biggest prayer for this coming year is that we would know you more. So God, bless this word. God, impart special grace, God, for us to collectively and individually separate ourselves to you. We love you. We're hungry for you. And we trust you, Lord, to manifest your kingdom, your power, and your glory in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's clap to Jesus for a moment. Hallelujah. So we are fasting for revelation. And it's kind of like a simple example of this is, have you ever driven, you know, with a dirty windshield? Right? You're going like this. You're trying to, you're like, man, I forgot to put that window washing fluid thing in. And you hit the thing and nothing comes out and you can't see. How many are so much better when the windshield is clean? Come on, let's have a clean spiritual windshield, right, in 2026. That's what this is all about. Okay, now all of this happens as we separate ourselves, as we fast, which is a form of separating ourselves to God. And I want to point out, right, now we're going to start to deconstruct Revelation. I want to point out two simple things so that you could say, okay, here's what I'm expecting. Okay, here's what I'm expecting based on what the Bible says. So first of all, one of the things that Revelation does is Revelation touches you. Everybody say, touch me, Lord. Real revelation touches you. Look at here. The Bible says on the bottom here, it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Real revelation touches us. Real revelation is not emotionalism. In fact, some people are addicted to emotional experiences. You can go to church and have an emotional experience and it not be spiritual. Now, spiritual experiences are emotional, okay? But real revelation is a deep touch from God. You see, real revelation actually touches you so that you're different. You know, this is a great way to compare it. When I remember when my kids were younger, and here's a classic example. Actually, this past week, our kids went to Encounter. They participated in a form of consecration. They fasted from their normal lives. They drove a couple of hours away, and all that they did was collectively together, they sought the Lord, they played games, they had fun, but they had services in the morning and services at night, and the Lord poured out his spirit and power, and the kids were so touched, and the reports that we received of how God ministered to kids as they were away, you know what they got? They got real revelation, but they were touched by God. So sometimes my kids would go to, I remember, they would go to like an Encounter and they would come back and I was like, how was it? They were like, Dad, it was so powerful. And sometimes they were like, Dad, I felt like God spoke to me and he wants this for my life. Or so on and so forth. Now, there were other times that they might have been in a service or they went to a concert or whatever, and they were like, how was it? Oh, so awesome. You know, the word was so powerful. And I was like, really? What did he preach? And they're like, I don't remember, but it was powerful. Okay? If you leave here on Sundays, you're like, how was service? Service was great. What did he preach on? You didn't get real revelation. Okay, let's get real revelation. Let's get hungry for something. Are you hungry for something deep? You see, that's what real revelation does. And that's between you and God. You know, I don't say this, but I can preach a whole sermon to you from different moments in the scriptures where Jesus, his ministry, okay, don't always blame the preacher on the message. Okay? Because his ministry was limited because of the lack of hunger in the people, because of the lack of faith. You see, if you're not hungry, it's a lot harder to preach to you than if you're hungry. Okay? Go ahead and preach it, preacher, right? Like, that's the truth. You could walk into a room, right? You could walk into a room and preach to 10 people, And they're so desperate for God, you feel like the glory of God has come down. It's a great revival. You could be in a room with 1,000 people and preach, and they're so disinterested in what God really wants to do and say and command and call to obey. And you know what? Nothing. You see? So let's not have a year like that. Let's not have a year where we go to church and we don't leave without revelation. Let's have a year where we wake up in the morning and we walk out of the prayer time with real revelation. Real revelation touches you. Okay? And watch this. When it touches you, he alters your inward and outward disposition by giving you two things. Number one, a mindset of awe. Number two, a mode of dependence. Okay, a mindset of awe, a mode of dependence. So notice, God touches him, and he is trembling. You know, and why is he trembling? Is he trembling because he's afraid, like, God is going to hurt me? No, he is just in awe of God. You understand? He's filled with glory. He's full of glory. And so he's in awe of God. And you may not recognize that in 2026, you and I in Chicago or wherever you're watching from, in Philadelphia, maybe you're in Missouri, maybe you're watching from overseas. We get emails from all different parts of the world. Wherever you are, the Spirit of the Living God wants to meet you so that you actually walk out in awe of the Living God. I stand in awe of you. And you might be saying to yourself, wow, I don't understand. Why is it? Here's the question. Why is it that some people experience the awe of God and others don't? What is it? You know, does God like love one person more than the other? Nope. It's what we're talking about today. It's time and attention. It's time and attention. You see, if you will just give God time and attention, then he's going to start to show himself to you. Real practical example, and forgive the personal illustration here. I don't like talking about myself, but sometimes I have to, right? So, you know, I got saved when I was 17. I actually didn't even go to a church till I was like 18. It's a long story because I wasn't led to the Lord. I had an encounter. I didn't even know about, actually, I had never been to a Christian church like this. But it took me a year. But anyway, I got there. And then it took me a little while to get in the flow of things. I want to tell you something. The most important thing that happened to me when I first became a Christian is that I actually started to go to the prayer meeting. Because the focus of the prayer meeting was seeking God. And that began to really change my life. And then now by the time I'm like 22 years old, when I was 22, I was trying to find God's will for my life. And I got a job working at a reinsurance company. And it was at the Twin Towers. It was on the 52nd floor. And I have to tell you, when I got this job, I was so impressed with myself. Because talk about imposter syndrome. This place was like so high-end furniture, people dressed and smart. And I felt like I was just snuck in. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but got my suit and... Anyway, I really hated the job, though. But as I was growing in the things of God and reading spiritual books, I heard about fasting. And then I heard about the fact that there was actually a building close by where it held a prayer meeting. A very famous prayer meeting took place there, 1600s, 1800s, I forget, but it was the Wall Street. There was like a great revival where during lunchtime, business people would go and pray. And there was a great revival in New York. So anyway, I found this place. I went. And what I started to do is I started to fast for lunch sometimes. And I would, I just wouldn't eat lunch. And so I go and sit in this room, and I would read the Bible, and I would pray. Sometimes there were a few people there. Sometimes there was no one there. It was just me in there with the Lord. And simply speaking, like think about it this way, right? Simply speaking, I'm just sitting there with the Lord and my Bible. This was before these phones with 100 different things on them. So my little Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking God. And even though my stomach is growling, I'm saying, God, I'm really hungry for you. I'm more hungry for you than I am for food. I'm more hungry for you than I am for this. I'm more hungry for you than I am for that. God, I'm just hungry for you. And, you know, sometimes I felt the glory of God, sometimes I didn't. But no matter what, here's what started to happen. It's that same person, you walk back to work, and all of a sudden, your job feels different. The reason why you're there is different. The role you're called to play is different, right? It just looks different. 22 years old, I'm a single guy. All of a sudden, you walk in after being in the presence of God. Guys, girls, you know, women look different. I'm telling you, brothers, you spend time with the Lord, women will look different. It's like, I don't understand it, but I'm different. I feel way more sensitive to certain things. You know why? Because I've been in the glorious presence of the living God. Your purpose, going to church, your schedule, your purchases, your wallet, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I really wanted that thing. It's like, you know, I don't really even want that anymore. You know, think about how many people get in a mess because they're always buying, 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 buying. And you know why? It's because you're not satisfied. And you think this thing is going to satisfy you. But see, could you put that slide back up for me? Here's what happens. Not only do you get this mindset of the kingdom of God is real, Jesus is real, but also you get into this mode of depending. He's like a little baby on his hands and knees, like crawling, right? Here's what happens. You start to realize that the things that really satisfy you, they will only come from Jesus. They can send me a keyboard player. When God touches you, you see, you start to understand that he's the only one who could satisfy you. And what you really want, what you really need, I'm telling you right now, you might be here today, you have such a remarkable need or remarkable desire. And remember, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. A lot of times, and people are listening to the devil, and they think that by saying no to them, their desires, that God is not going to bless their desires. He will bless you. But it's just putting God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens? All things will be added unto you. Revelation touches you. And all of a sudden, you're different. And what's so cool is that you can't touch like the deepest part of who you are. You can't change the deepest part of who you are. But the Holy Spirit can. How many believe the Holy Spirit can touch us and minister to us? How many are ready for the deep touch of God in 2026? Hallelujah. He's available to us. He wants to minister to us. He really wants to bless us. So that's the first thing. The second thing that happens is Revelation not only touches you, but Revelation literally speaks to you. So there's this inexplicable, mysterious transformation that takes place by drawing close to God. Right? There's times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. You know? How did you get mastery over that craving? Oh, I just spent time with Jesus. You know? How did you get healed from that broken heart? I spent time with Jesus. I would be in a bad mood, a sad mood, going to his presence, a better mood. And after a while, I stopped being sad. He would just touch me and help me. But the second thing is he does more than that. He speaks to his people. So notice, right? Put this up for me. Look at the bottom text. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard and I have come in response to them. Think about this. God spoke to him. Look, when God speaks to you, he alters your inward and outward disposition in two ways. Number one, by giving you a mindset of belonging and identity. Daniel, you are highly esteemed. My sister, what's your name? Joanna. Joanna. I'm sorry, you know. Imagine today, there's 8 billion people on the planet. God says, Joanna, you are highly esteemed. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. When God knows you, when he knows you, it doesn't matter who else doesn't know you. When you're esteemed by God, it doesn't matter if you got invited to this or got left out of that. You're like, it's all good. I've got Jesus. How many have ever felt that feeling and known that moment? Hallelujah! I'm telling you right now, the deepest need of our soul is that word that says you are highly esteemed. It will heal depression. It will heal sadness and a broken heart. It will heal confusion. It will get you ready for clarity. It will get you ready to hear what God is saying, because all of a sudden when God says, you are valuable to me, now when he says, go do this great thing, you're not going to say, who, me? Because you were esteemed by God. You see? Nothing more wonderful, nothing more powerful than the word of the Lord. Amen. Oh man, the word of the Lord all of a sudden says, how important are you? I died for you, and I want to speak to you. I love you. I have a plan for you. Notice, do not be afraid, Daniel. That word of belonging, this is what I'm praying for you. I'm praying this for me. I'm praying this for our children, for teenagers, or for college students who feel so much peer pressure. Let me tell you what will overcome peer pressure. You are highly esteemed. Do not be afraid of all of the nonsense that they're saying. I'm with you. I will protect you. What's my boss going to think if I love Jesus? Who cares? Your boss might be rich, might be powerful in an earthly sense, but he is so desperate, she is so desperate to meet the true King and the true Lord and the true lover of their soul, and he wants to use you to do it. Amen. God can make you fearless. Amen. So incredible. You see this? Isn't it amazing how God, when he speaks to you, he speaks encouragement in and he speaks fear out. The word of the Lord will talk you out of worry. You call your friends to be talked out of worry, but the word of the Lord will talk you out of worry. The word of the Lord will talk you out of fear. One word from the Lord. Oh my goodness. It's crazy, powerful, wonderful. I'm almost done here. You know, there was a couple of weeks ago, or more, time just, our last Illuminate. My wife, who has such a burden, this happens all the time, where they're going to have an Illuminate, and she'll get a song, like a little chorus. And so she got a chorus for the ladies' last Illuminate. But it's like, I don't know what I was doing. I came in, and she was like, oh, I got this song for the ladies. And we have a piano in our house, so we went to the piano, and she plays this song. I'm going to give you the words. I'm not going to sing it because we might wreck the revelation right now. But listen to this. I want to know you to hear what you're saying. I want to know you and you'll tell me what you're thinking of me. You're thinking of me. Do you realize he's thinking of you? God is thinking of you right now. If you're watching online, he's thinking of you. You're in the heart of God. He wants to speak to you. He doesn't want to criticize you. He doesn't want to put you down. He wants to tell you things that are beautiful, wonderful. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know, the Bible says. So crazy, because when she played that for me, we just sat there. I was just bawling like a baby, because I know that I know that I know. All of the issues of your life, all of the issues of my life, they will be conquered by one word from the Lord. Hallelujah. One word from God, and everything will change. And we are going to get the word of the Lord in 2026. We're going to make time for him. And he's going to touch us and speak to us. He is a reward of them that diligently seek him. When you seek me, you'll find me, the Bible says. The kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is real. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.